God's good.
Amen.
This is the highlight of your week.
That's right. Amen.
So I didn't know that. Well, now you do. Praise God. You know, usually eating's the highlight of my day. And so this is the best meal we could get, so it's the highlight of our whole week. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's pray before we get into the Word. Father, we are just absolutely honored to be gathered together with Jesus in our midst. For the Word says where two or three are gathered together, He's in the midst of us. So we thank You, Lord, that You saw it fit to come to South Dayton this morning. And Father, we need Your help today. Lord, we're not looking for opinions of man or philosophies or ideas or theories. Father, we're looking for utterance from heaven. So Lord, I thank You that You'll speak through me. My words will not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I will speak as the oracles of God this morning. Excuse me. And Father, just like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. And Father, I thank You that I'll speak words in season. Father, words that will strike a chord in each and every person's heart today that will be help unto them going forward. And Father, when You say something that pertains to their life, it'll be a sign unto them that You are real, that You love them, but also that this is a safe place where they can come and hear from You. And Father, we will never hijack or rob any of Your glory or any of Your praise. Father, we are we're just branches, You're the vine. So we look to You this morning. We thank You that this ministry is not about the name on the building. It's not about the minister, but it's about Jesus Himself. And so we lift Him up and magnify Him. And we thank You for the Word. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen.
Of course, this is part five of our series. If you've not been able to be with us or hear all of them, I do encourage you to get on live stream and listen to them. This is a series that will change the course of your whole life. And it's being led of the Holy Spirit is what we're talking about. And we get our key scripture from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. I'm just going to do very fast review. I don't have time to go over everything we've preached, but I'm just going to touch on the highlights here real quick. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Now look at this. Now, verse 6 is an invitation from God. He says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, or acknowledge me, right? He says, if you do that, He said, I will direct your paths. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you want God on in your life as a path director. David said this, He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me to the green pastures. He said, He restores my soul. He says, with the Lord, my cup runneth over. He said, with the Lord, even in the midst of my enemies, I sit down and I'm blessed. He said that with the Lord, goodness and mercy follow Him all the days of His life. The Bible said in 3 John 2, we alluded to it in the offering, that God's will is that we would prosper and be in health. So God's only going to direct your paths according to His will. Well, we found out what His will is. So when He takes any area of your life that you acknowledge Him in, He's going to take that and turn that, if it needs to be turned, towards prosperity, towards health, towards blessing, towards still waters, towards green pastures. Why? He's your Father. He's a good guide. He's a good director. But the Bible says, in all your ways. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the problem. People do it their own way. They don't acknowledge God. They don't find out God's take on this situation. And so then their paths are kind of just all different places. But God says, no, I want you to get on my path for you. My plan for your life is a good one. And then we found out in Romans 8:14 how He's going to do that. Well, how is God going to guide and lead us? Well, thank God the Bible tells us so. In Romans 8 and verse 14, it says, for as many as are led, well, that word led is the same word to guide, to lead. For as many as are led, notice this, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Bible tells us how God is going to lead you into prosperity and health. How He's going to lead you by the still waters. How He's going to lead you into green pastures. All the good things that He has. It's going to come through the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I don't mean to be sensational when I make this statement or to be dramatic just to get your attention. I know this because I came from churches like this. She came from churches like this. Many of you came from places like this because you've told me. Many of my friends and family are still there. The majority of the body of Christ does not know how to be led by the Holy Spirit. They know, and that's not a put down. They're just as much, they're just as loved as any other Christian. They're just as heaven bound, but life will look different for the Christian who's not led by the Holy Ghost, because that's how God's guiding and leading. He's not guiding and leading in any other way. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. So we're trying to teach you how to be led by the Spirit of God. You can actually be led in your day-to-day life affairs in every area by God. Isn't that amazing? And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. He is the most compassionate, the most loving, the wisest, the smartest, the all-knowing one. He's been to your future and back. He knows every little thing to tell you, hey, no, turn here. Hey, make this adjustment. Hey, don't go there. Don't do that. He's already been to your future back. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And so it pays for us to be led and learn how to be led by him, because he knows how to get us where we need to go.
Amen.
Amen. And so real quick, we saw, how in the world does he do this? We'll go to verse 16. It says, the Spirit should say himself. The Holy Ghost is not an it. Jesus called him a him in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. He said, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a spirit. When you got saved, for me, January 10th of 2002, I got born again. Jesus, the Bible said, came on the inside of me and recreated. Remember, the Bible said, for as many be in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, the spirit man was made new. My flesh wasn't made new. My mind wasn't made new. But my spirit man was made new. So I have a spirit. Well, the Bible says the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Well, what does that mean? Well, we can go back and listen to these messages and get more on this subject. I believe it was one of the first weeks we talked about it. But the Bible says at the new birth, when you accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus said, you'll know him, for he'll be with you, but he'll be in you. He dwelleth in you. The Holy Ghost comes on the inside of you. Well, then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit doesn't speak on his own behalf, but whatsoever he hears, that's what he says. Well, what's he saying? He's saying what the Father's saying, and he's relaying it to our spirit. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So the Holy Ghost gets the orders from headquarters and then tells it and relays it to our spirit. And when we are led by the Spirit, then we do what God says to do. And we go where God says to go, and we can have what God says we can have. Praise God. And so that's how it happens, and we saw this plenty of times in the Word, that really following the Holy Ghost is just following God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So the Bible says that the Holy Ghost on the inside of you is God in you. That's what separates us from every religion on planet Earth. Our God decided to come and dwell on the inside of us. Our God sought fit to come live on the inside of us to guide and direct us. And so we saw that it pays, that when people in the Bible followed God's ways and did it God's ways, things turned out for them. It was when people did it their own way and didn't listen to God that they got in trouble. Well, how God's doing it? He's leading by the Holy Ghost. He told us in verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit. Praise God. So now go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. That's what we're going to pick up today. And you know why a lot of people don't know about it? Because a lot of people aren't allowed to talk about the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The Father, woohoo! The Son, woohoo! And the shh, don't talk about that Holy Ghost business. Well, I'm going to talk about that Holy Ghost business. Amen. I'm not going to keep out one third part of the Godhead, the Trinity. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the one that's still on the earth. The Father's on the throne. Jesus seated next to him. And the Holy Ghost is still operating on planet Earth. Why would we not want to talk about him? Why would we want to keep God out of our churches? Amen. You know what usually people aren't up on, they're down on. Right? A lot of people find, oh, I don't know about that. Well, why don't we just take a walk in the Word and look and see what the Word says, and let the Word tell us how we're going to think. Amen. Your problem's your thinking. It's called stinking thinking when you do it your way. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23, look at this. Now we're trying to teach you how to be led by the Spirit. He said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. He said, I pray God your. So he's talking about you now. He said, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying to you that you are a three-part being or a triune being made up of three things: spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is the one that was recreated, that lives forever. The spirit man's the real you. When you pass away on this earth, your body, however you decide to do it, cremate and put in the ground, whatever, stays here on the earth. It's the spirit that goes to be with the Lord. We're spirit beings. The body is the other part of the triune being. That's just the earth suit. That's the housing or the holding place of the spirit. The Bible says, what? Don't you know that your body is a temple or a dwelling place of the Holy Ghost? This is the earth suit we got. Praise the Lord. And then he said, talking about soul, a lot of times people think the soul and the spirit are the same. He said, no, soul and spirit. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, he talks about how the word can divide soul and spirit, a division, meaning they're not the same thing. And the soul is the mind or the intellect, the thoughts and the reasonings of a person. So he says we are three-part beings. In the last 2 weeks, we looked at the fact that each one of these three-part beings that we are is going to endeavor and attempt to lead us in life. And they're going to attempt to lead us and direct us by each one of their voices. And we saw 2 weeks ago that the body has a voice. And the voice of the body is emotions and feelings, right? And a lot of Christians, I'm going to just tell you this again, not to be sensational. I've not been at it as long as some other people, but I've been around it a little bit in full-time ministry almost 8 or 9 years now. Going back to being an associate pastor, and I've been to churches and different things and seen people and talked different things. Majority of people are not being led by the one-third, the spirit. Most people are being led by their body, or most people are being led by their mind. And the voice of the body is feelings and emotions. And ladies and gentlemen, when you are led by feelings and emotions, you'll get in trouble. Because that's not where God is. God's not in the goosebumps. God's not in the tears. God's not in the cold chills. Oh, God must be moving. I got goosebumps. No. For as many as are led by the Spirit, not the goosebumps. That's not the emotion. Well, hey, that feels good. That must have been God. Not necessarily. Right. Hey, that doesn't seem like that'd be very comfortable. God must not be in that. Not necessarily. The Bible says we don't walk by faith, by sight with our feelings and stuff. We walk by faith. Praise God. We saw in the Word, again, I don't have time to rehash this, people that go by their flesh and go by their body, they're carnal Christians. The Lord said, when you're led by your flesh, you're just like a natural baby. Can't get much into you. Jake and Heather, have you fed your son a T-bone steak yet? Why? He'd choke on the thing, right? He's sucking down formula, poor thing. I get to go home and eat a steak, not him, right? But why? I'm older and growing, and Paul said this. He said, you're carnal. He told the Corinthians, he said, up until now, I've fed you with milk. You've not been able to bear meat, but I got to keep feeding you milk. See, even he's mad about it. He said, I want steak. Now, Pastor Mike talks about steak, and you won't let me have any. Praise the Lord. Well, you're a baby. Can't do much with you. You're not being able to be used. What do babies do? Well, what did he do in there? Does he not know it's not appropriate when the pastor's preaching to yell out? No, he doesn't know that. Why? He's a baby. Yeah. Carnal Christians do whatever they want, however they feel. They just move by the wind of their feelings. Right. It's the truth. Right. And then he said this. He said, there's also a mind. And we saw last week that don't be led by your mind and your thinking. And the voice of the mind is thoughts and reasonings. Because God said in Isaiah 55, he said, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. Right. He said, my ways aren't your ways. In fact, in Proverbs 16, he said, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ways thereof, the end is death. Yeah. He said, don't be led by your way. And in fact, Proverbs 3 said, trust in the Lord with your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So don't do it your way. Don't do it the way you think. Hallelujah. He said, well, what are we supposed to do with our mind? He said, be transformed, Romans 12:2, by the renewing of your mind. He said over there in James chapter 1 and verse 21, he said that the word can save your minds. The engrafted word. What does that mean? Well, you come into church. I'll just use me as an example. I come into church, I'm born again. I'll just use money as an example because it's an easy one to see practically. Well, I was poor and broke and didn't know anything about how to be blessed. And then I had strong feelings about money. I thought I was generous before I came into the church world and got saved. But I found out I was one greedy guy. And I came into church, found out what the Word said about money. Well, I had strong feelings about money, and the Word had feelings about money, and I thought a certain way about money. And when I heard about tithing and giving and following the Holy Ghost, my thoughts were, that's crazy, that's going to make me poor, that's going to make me broke. How do you expect me to bring a tithe and then on top of that bring an offering? How do you expect me to do that, Lord? Well, see, his thinking was different than my thinking. Well, my job is not to go by how I feel or how I think. My job is to replace my thought process with the Word. People get in trouble when they think and act outside of this book. That's where the problems lie. I'll tell you what, a whole lot of social issues in the body of Christ that people are on one side or the other, political issues and stuff, would all be settled if Christians would just believe the Bible. If they would just say, I'm gonna go with what the Word says. Yeah, I have a strong feeling about that, and I was raised a certain way, and Grandma told me this, and Dad told me that, and friends tell me this, and the news tells me this. But you know what? I go by what the Bible says. His ways are perfect. This is the final law in the land, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. And that's the problem. People go by their thinking. You know, they go to purchase a vehicle. They go to buy a house. They go to get in a relationship with somebody, and they reason it out in their head. Well, this and that, pros and cons list. They get on, and they search the internet. Listen, God's not in those things. He's not looking for you to figure it out in your mind. Hallelujah. Your mind can trick you, praise God. Right. Absolutely. He said, renew your mind. He said, your mind needs saving. Yeah. He says, put away all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Your mind needs to be saved by the word. Why? We have wrong thinking in the world. Our thinking is set up and crafted by things we're around, people we're around, the news, what we hear at our jobs and stuff. We got to make sure that we're thinking in line with the Word. That's where our blessing is. Amen. So then if there's number three, and this is where we're picking up today, so that was a little longer review than I'd hoped for, but he said there's a third part of us, we're a spirit. And what did he say? For as many as are led by the Spirit. So how's God going to lead you to green pasture, still waters, to prosperity, health, all those things? By the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Remember, he said in Proverbs 20, in verse 27, he said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Well, what is a candle? A candle back then is what we would call a flashlight, what a flashlight would do now, right? A flashlight, you know, when it's dark in your house, maybe you still light candles, but whatever, if the lights go out, you put a flashlight on, put a candle on, and it lights the way. Why? So you don't trip over things. So you don't bump into things. So you don't run into things. So you don't get unnecessarily hurt in life. He said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. How's the Lord going to guide and direct you? By your spirit man. He's not in your flesh. He's not in your mind. He's in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's where we're going to be led by Him and to get into all these things that God has for us. So we said that the body has a voice. It's mind and emotion. It's emotions and feelings. The mind has a voice. It's thoughts and reasonings. And those things are trying to lead us. But the Spirit, thank God, also has a voice. Do you want to know what the voice of the Spirit is? It's called your conscience. The voice of your spirit, just like the voice of your body is feelings and emotions, and just like the voice of your mind is thoughts and reasonings, the voice of your spirit is your conscience. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19 says this. Holding faith. Don't let go of faith. You know, I was up there praising, and I should have said this before we started, but it just brought back to me. I saw that word there, so I was just navigating in my heart a little bit while I was delayed there. You want to know when you're in faith, ladies and gentlemen? Who wants to know when you're in faith? Come on. Do you know what the voice of faith is? Since we're talking about the voice of the body, the voice of the mind, and the voice of the spirit, you know what the voice of faith is? Called praise. You want to know if you're in faith or not? When all hits the fan, when hell knocks at your front door and things aren't going your way and things just seem to be going backwards, and do you still have praise in your mouth? If you're grumbling and a groaning and a moaning and a griping and complaining, you're not in faith, because the voice of faith is praise. Faith never has a down day. Faith is never discouraged. Faith is never upset. Faith always looks at the best. Faith always says, no matter what this looks like, it's turning around. Amen. Yeah, and that's what he says, holding on to faith. I just think that's neat how it held off there to the voice of faith is praise. Holding faith, don't let go. But notice this, and a good conscience, which some having put away, what's that mean? Violating, not listening to their conscience, put away concerning faith, concerning the faith, concerning their walk with God, have made shipwreck of their lives. The Bible says when you violate your conscience, which is the voice of the Holy Ghost, the voice of your spirit, it can lead to shipwreck in your life. We don't want shipwreck in our life. Hallelujah. So I'm going to help you today with following your conscience. Now, what does that mean? See, a lot of people have made following the Holy Ghost such a difficult, such a hard thing. It's not. When something seems, now remember, the Bible said it's important to know this, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, but it didn't end there. It said, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So he tells us where that spirit man is located. In the center of man, the belly of a man, the center of a human being. He said, that's where the candle of the Lord is. So when we wonder, where in the region of our body is the spirit located, is the Holy Ghost located? He said, searching the inward parts of the belly. So the spirit man's right down in here. Or you could say it like this, that gut instinct, right? That gut feeling. And so when it comes to following the voice of the Holy Ghost, and I'll help you, it's you're going to have, when he's telling you to do something and telling you to go ahead, it's going to have it's going to seem good in this region. You're going to have a green light or a go-ahead in your spirit. And it's important to understand this, that your mind might be on tilt. Your mind might be going crazy. Your mind might be saying that's absolutely not the right thing. But yet down deep, you know that's the right thing. You have peace. You have a green light. What I liken it to is warm honey down there. Oh, man, not like cardboard or, you know, something, fingernails on a chalkboard. No, that's when you know you're missing it, when you get an unease or a scratch down here. And your head might be saying, oh, yeah, do that. But down here, it just doesn't seem right. You know, it's important that we learn these things because the things that God can tell us to do at times can put our mind on tilt. Or things that God tells us not to do, our mind can be saying, and our flesh can be saying, do it. That seems so good. And so you got to learn to follow that instinct, that the heart of a man. You know, think about this in 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, Elisha, the prophet. Remember, Naaman had leprosy. And what did the prophet say? The prophet was just the mouthpiece of God. What did the prophet tell Naaman? He said, go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. Yeah. Well, what did that do to Naaman's mind? It put Naaman's mind on tilt. Yeah. He thought, what in the world does dipping in the River Jordan 7 times have anything to do with my healing? Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. God can tell you to do some things sometimes. In your heart, you have peace on it, but your mind's saying, what in the world are you doing? When the Lord told me to go to Rhema Bible Training Center in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, as a young man, no money, no friends out there, didn't know anybody, had to go out there and make my own way. And you might say, well, big deal. Well, it was a big deal for me. You're talking about someone that was very irresponsible, didn't have much character, didn't have much integrity. In fact, 2 years before that, I had just gotten off a spree of 26 jobs in 2 years. 26 jobs in 2 years. You say, is that even possible? It is. You should have seen it. Oh, my. You talk about a comedy. That should be a movie. 26 jobs in 2 years. That ought to be a movie right there. But just no integrity, no character. And so here I went to leave and go do this on my own, get a job, no help from my family, no help from friends, just go do it. Go find a place to live. Had enough money for 1 month, for my first month tuition, 1 month of living, and that was it. And took my truck out there, and I had to get a full-time job. And so I went to school from 8 in the morning till 12, went to work from 1 until 10, Monday through Saturday at Reese's Deli in Broken Arrow. And that was a lot for somebody that, you know, working from basically 8 in the morning until about 10 or 11 o'clock at night. That was hard for me at that time, and I knew all that was coming. And so when the Lord told me to go there, I considered the cost, knew what it was going to happen and what was going to be waiting for me when I got there. I'll tell you what, you talk about my mind being on tilt. But you know what? I had learned to follow the Holy Ghost, and on the inside, I had such a peaceful feeling, such a green light in here, right? I'm not looking for the green light in here. I'm not looking for the green light up here. I'm looking for the green light down here. Why? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. And so it can put your mind on tilt. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this will help you. This is where people miss it. The leading of the Spirit is not a spectacular thing. A lot of times people want angels to appear. They want writing on the wall. They want the fireworks to pop. Let me just correct something. If you've said this to me, I don't remember you saying it to me, but it's going to correct you anyways. God is not in the business of you finding something out by laying out a fleece. Christians still tell me, let me give you an example. Someone told me one time they were going to sell something, and they're not in this church, don't worry about it. They're going to sell something, and they said what they did was they put a for sale sign up, and they said, well, if it sells, it must have been God. If it doesn't, it wasn't. I'm laying out my fleece. I said, God does not lead you that way anymore. That was the Old Testament how he's leading. The New Testament, God said, I'm going to come on the inside of you. You ain't got to lay out no fleeces. Just follow the Holy Spirit and I'll tell you where to go. But Christians do it all the time. Got to lay out our fleeces. He's not leading you by fleeces. He's not leading you by fleeces. Find me in the New Testament where God leads by fleeces. He doesn't do it. In the Old Testament, he had to do it a different way. Why? He had not indwelt a human being yet. But now the all-knowing one's on the inside of you. I don't need some stupid fleece to lay out. I can find out if I need to sell something or not sell something by what the Holy Ghost says. Amen. I'll just test something. Well, you know, it just must have been God. No. Circumstances and things like that. That happened. That must have been God. Well, that didn't happen. That must not have been God. What's the Holy Ghost saying, ladies and gentlemen? Let's not be like flaky. Let's not be like the granola section Christians. What are the granola section Christians? The fruity, the flaky, and the nutty.
That's right.
That everything, oh, that's God. Oh, that's not God.
Right. Come on, that's so good.
Oh, I got goosebumps. God's here. Oh, he's not working in your flesh. You might tangibly feel him at times, but that doesn't mean because you have goosebumps or you start crying that God necessarily moved.
That's right.
Amen. It's true. Praise God. We're just trying to help you here. And so anyways, the leading of the Spirit, you have to know, is supernatural, but it's not spectacular. But it is supernatural. To be able to hear the voice of God on what to do, what not to do, where to go, where not to go. That's supernatural. Might not be spectacular, and that's the problem why people miss it. They don't see the fireworks. They want it in prophecy. They want it in angels. They want it in visions and dreams. 99.9% of the time, God will not lead a Christian that way. And let me just put out this little warning for all of you that want angels, that want pastor to give you a word about your future, that want Jesus to appear in your bedroom. You look in the Bible, and the men and women of God that went before us, that got supernatural visitations like that, it was almost always because something so crazy hard was about to happen that they needed something so magnificent and spectacular to ground them and to anchor them in what they did. Why did Paul have so many visitations of Jesus? Because Paul went through hell to get the gospel out. Amen. You know, we talk about Kenneth Hagin and different things and how he had visitations from Jesus and visions, and those things are legit in the Word of God, but they don't happen every day. But when they would happen, it was someone with great influence who was about to go through a test and trial. When I was told to go to Rhema, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care if you believe me or not, I heard it. I heard the audible voice of God at a service during a salvation call when everybody's heads were bowed and eyes were closed. I heard the words, go to Rhema. Now, why did I get such a supernatural visitation manifestation? Because that was the start of my ministry. And when I got to Rhema, I encountered the biggest financial trial I ever went through and the biggest physical trial I ever went through. And the only thing I wanted to do was run back home. But you know what kept me there? Go to Rhema. Amen. But 99.9% of the time, when I've been led, has not been by some spectacular manifestation. It's been by the leading of the Holy Ghost and learning to follow the Holy Spirit. So that's what I'm going to teach you. Go to Isaiah 55 and verse 12. Isaiah 55 and verse 12. Oh, following the Holy Ghost will keep you safe, keep you blessed. Praise God. I don't mean, and again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're here, there's no condemnation. If you're here and you can realize, man, you know what? That decision I made was not Holy Ghost based. That thing I did was not based on the Holy Ghost. Well, you know what you can do? You can just repent about it and see God will turn that thing around. Praise God. He's faithful to do things. He doesn't hold you in that place of defeat. You know, sometimes we were just ignorant. There's a lot of things I was just so ignorant about and didn't know. But now we're in the know, so let's start just going forward the right way. But Isaiah 55 in verse 12 It says, for you shall go out with joy. Now notice this. And be led. There it is, that right? And be led forth with peace. Peace. Where? In your heart. Go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Praise God.
Amen.
Colossians 3 and verse 15. 99.9% of the time that God will lead you is going to be by peace. Peace is the voice of the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
If you can learn to navigate peace, you can learn to follow the Spirit of God. Now notice this. And let the peace of God, notice this, rule. What does that word rule mean? To be in charge. To be the final word, right? To be the one that's calling the shots. He says, let the peace of God rule where? In your heart.
Yeah.
In your heart. He's saying, let the peace. Remember in Isaiah 55, he said, you'll be led with peace. He's saying now, let peace rule in your heart. Now go with me, Kim Lai, if you'd turn that to the Amplified. The Amplified is a literal translation of the Greek and the Hebrew, and what it does is just amplifies. The New Testament was not written in English, and the Greek language and the Hebrew language are far more complex than the English language, and the Amplified amplifies those words in the original Greek. Look at what it says if you were to read it just strictly from how the Greek would say it. Let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule. Now notice this. Act as umpire or an official, or a referee, continually in your hearts. Now notice this, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. All those things you're playing ping pong back and forth in your head. He said, peace. And what did he say? Peace in your heart is going to settle all the garbage and the junk and the chaos that's up here. He said, let peace act like an umpire in your heart, settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which you're members of Christ, one body, you're also called to live. Now, let me tell you something. I know a little bit about umpires. And if you know anything about sports, you know about referees and officials and umpires. Now, I'm talking in the days when they did not have instant replay, which now, thank God, instant replay saves some big mistakes in games. But I remember, just you be quiet now when I say this, okay? I remember, I can't stand the New York Yankees. Anybody else in here with me that hates the Yankees? Come on, all you Yankee haters, where are you? But anyways, I remember it was either a World Series game or it was the series before, where Jeffrey Mayer was a young boy in right field, and Derek Jeter hit a ball, and it was a huge game, and Derek Jeter hit a ball, and clearly, especially on replay, you could see the little boy reach over the fence, touch the ball, catch the ball, I think, and bring it back over, and the umpire signaled, home run! Home run, and I believe it was against the Orioles, I'm not 100% sure, but they went crazy! How could you not see that? But see, here's the thing. Back then, they didn't have instant replay. So what was the thing? Whatever the umpire said, no matter what it seemed like, no matter what it felt like, no matter what the umpire said home run. Didn't matter what it looked like. Didn't matter what people thought. The umpire said home run. It's over. When peace says something, doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what it feels like. Doesn't matter what your mind's saying. When you let peace act like umpire, when your heart says go and your mind says no, you follow the umpire. Whatever the umpire says, go. And you know what happens, ladies and gentlemen? When you argue with the umpire, guess what happens? You get kicked out.
Yeah.
Don't argue with the umpire.
That's right.
You want to get kicked off the plan of God? Keep arguing with the umpire and go against what the umpire is saying and do it your own way. You'll start to get derailed off your path and ejected out of God's plan. Not because God's ejected you, but because you're taking steps off that path. No matter what peace says. That's why it's so vital to learn to follow the Holy Ghost. That's the only place he's at. He's not in your thoughts. He's not in your feelings. Let peace make the call. Now remember what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1. Not following this. Remember why I said you could be ejected or kicked out? Can lead to shipwreck in your life. Let me give you some examples. You tell me if this is shipwreck or not. My cousin, Jared Becker, who at the time in 2009 was in Pastor Tim's church. Pastor Tim is the pastor of the Jamestown Family Church. He is church just like this, follows the Holy Spirit, preaches faith, sticks with the Bible. He was in that church, and my cousin to this day has a ticket. And on that ticket, from New Jersey to Buffalo, in February of 2009, says Colgan Air, 3407. My cousin has a ticket. He was supposed to be on the plane that crashed in Buffalo, New York, from New Jersey to Buffalo. He's got the ticket. I've seen it. And I remember getting a call from him the day after. He was in the airport that day. I remember he went to Pastor Tim's church, where you're taught to learn how to follow the Holy Ghost. And he was getting ready to fly home, and all of a sudden he had unease in his heart about getting on that plane to fly home, just a short flight from New Jersey to Buffalo. He had unease in his heart to do that. Well, he went and knew he had to change his flight. The flight that he changed to only saved him 1 hour, and when you change flights, it can cost you a boatload of money. And it did cost him a boatload of money and inconvenienced him, but he said, Pastor, he said, in my heart, I had such an unease. I didn't know why. He said, I just knew that you said the umpire, when the umpire says it, just obey. Don't try to reason it in your head. Don't try to reason it in your feelings that, oh, I don't feel like that. I don't want to do that. That doesn't feel good. You know, it might get me home only an hour early, but it's all this money I'm going to spend. No, no, no. He changed his flight, and he was not on that airplane. And you know what he says? All because he knew how to follow the Holy Ghost and was led. So number one, don't tell me it doesn't matter what church you go to, because it matters what church you go to. Amen. Because the only reason he didn't get on that is because he said, man, I sensed the leading of the Spirit in here and I didn't get on it. I remember one time, this isn't as dramatic. I don't know how many times I'm going to buy a dog when I'm not supposed to. I'm telling you, I have violated my heart so many times. That this is when I was associate of the Jamestown Church under Pastor Tim. And I was gone a lot, very busy. I did the worship, the youth group, and different things in the church as well. That's back when I called myself the accountant. I was an accountant. I could use a calculator. That was my extent of being an accountant for the church. But anyways, we were gone a lot. We had a yellow lab named Wrigley. You've all heard about Wrigley a lot of times. And she was just home alone a lot of the times. And I started to get emotional about it in my mind and thinking, you know what? I feel bad for that dog. You know, we're gone a lot, and she's all by herself. Well, the truth is, the matter about Wrigley, she could give a rip if one human being's around her or anybody. That dog just wants to be left alone, right? Am I right? She doesn't care about companionship of another dog, doesn't care about, I mean, she likes when I used to take her for walks, but man, to get that dog to even love on me is like a miracle. And she just goes and does her own thing. Well, anyways, I just got in my head about it and got emotional and thinking, and you know, really loved my dog, wanted to get a dog. So I had put forth the motion to get another dog. When I did that, oh, my heart, scratch, scratch, scratch. That warm honey, it was not warm honey anymore. It was more like sour milk on the inside. And just that scratching. Well, then I said, you know what? I can't see the problem. I got in my mind, I thought this would be good for her. What's the problem with getting a dog? And so I got on BuffaloNews.com. And when I went to log into that and look in the Buffalo News, oh, it got louder and louder on the inside. God was trying to spare me. And I found a family. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this is how it happened in steps. I saw the number. And before I called that number, the Holy Ghost on the inside, that yucky, scratching feeling was telling me, don't you call that number. I called a family in Hamburg and made an appointment to go see a litter of chocolate labs. And let me tell you something. If you go see a litter of chocolate labs, you're done. It's over. One's coming home with you. And so we went to look at this litter of chocolate labs, and I had yucky, the whole time tell them, cancel the appointment, say we're not going, we're not going to do this. And I went there and saw them running around, and there was one crawled on us and just was so loving and just seemed so sweet. And the whole time, my heart's telling me, tell them no, do not get this dog. Well, I told them I'd take the dog, and when she had to get a couple weeks older, we went and picked her up. I mean, this stupid thing cost me almost, now, for those of you that just get dogs from the SPCA or whatever you do, and you're one of those people, that's fine. I'm already telling you from the beginning, I'm an idiot. So when I say this, that it almost cost me $1,000 for a dog, don't look at me that way. You already know I'm an idiot. And so I spent the money on the dog, brought the dog home, only to find out real fast the dog suffered from major separation anxiety, which were gone, and didn't care that Wrigley was there. Chewed up the molding in our... I mean, it was like we didn't buy a dog, but it was part beaver. I'm not kidding you. You should have seen the windowsill and the nice molding. And she pooped and peed all the time in the wrong places. It was literally dog hell on earth, wasn't it? And so I had a decision to make. I'm not going to let no animal rob my peace. But yet, I love the dog. In fact, that dog was an awesome napper. When I got to nap, she would nap with me. But that was about the only good thing I could say about her. And she was cute. And her name was Mossy. And so I had become attached to her. But it was robbing my peace. It was robbing my home and all sorts of things. And so I started seeking God. And the Holy Ghost directed me to give her away. And now, again, I wasn't just going to give her away to anybody. I said, Father, and I released my faith. You know, here's the thing. When you miss it, God is so merciful. Yeah. He still loves you, still cares about you. He's not up in heaven saying, I told you so, dummy. No, he's saying, okay, now trust me and let's fix this. So I said, Lord, I love her. I care about her. She's a sweet dog. She's got a great temperament. I said, she's not working out here. And so released our faith while a woman that she worked with was getting ready to go on maternity leave and actually leave her job for good and lived on a farm in Faulkner where the dog could run free. And I prayed and had that honey. I had no honey feeling with Mossy until I prayed to get rid of her. And then the honey, I mean, it overflowed. There was an abundance of honey. Get rid of the dog. Get rid of the dog. Give it to this person. So I was so sad when I gave her the dog. And we went back, I don't know, a few months later and stopped. And Mossy... Well, first of all, it looked like they just fed her whenever she was hungry. She got fat. But she was super happy running around the farm. The family loved it. They said, she is so good with our new baby. I mean, it was perfect. Mossy was happier than she'd ever been. And I was like, wow, it pays to follow the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, all that could have been avoided, but even in that story, it shows you God is merciful to help. Amen. Amen. Well, don't let not following the Holy Ghost cost you something more than money. Not following the Spirit of God can cost you your life. It can cost you years of misery. You know that there are people, for you single people, listen up. They go to get in relationships, and they're not led by their heart. They're led by their mind and their emotion. And they go and they make decisions, and it can cost you years of heartache not following the Holy Spirit. God knows who would be right for you. Stop listening to your mind. Stop listening to your flesh. It's the same way when people go to buy a vehicle, go to buy a house. How about this? It's the same thing when people go to pick a church. Come on. You know what the Bible says? Now, this is where it really rubbed people the wrong way, but oh well. You came out in the winter, man. You're so dedicated, we can say anything today. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, God sets the members. God sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. What am I going to tell you that's going to make you mad? It's not up to you what church you go to. It's up to Him. Amen. And people pick churches all the time. Oh, their music team is awesome. It's a smoke and light show. It's like a concert. Woo, I love it. Music won't heal you. Music won't set you free. Music won't guide you in life. Oh, the children's programs. Oh, my gosh, they have a singles ministry. Oh, they have a cafe out in their foyer. Oh, it's so clicky and clubby. No, is the Word of God being preached, and do they follow the Holy Spirit? Are people getting born again? Are people getting healed? Are signs, wonders, and miracles? Is acts taking place in that church that you love to go to? God has a place. I'm not saying it's here. It doesn't have to be here, but He has a place for you, and it will always include the Word, and it will always include the Spirit. Jesus said this, He said to Peter, He said, Peter, feed my sheep if you love me. He said, the way you can prove to me, Peter, that you love me is if my sheep are fed. God is not interested in His sheep starving. People sit in all these churches all over America where they're just going and showing up and it's just 3 points in a poem, where they're showing up and it's just, you know, well-meaning people, love God, going to heaven, not saying anything against them. I'm just saying, following the Holy Ghost is where it's at. And church is not just a club. Right. I'm telling you, my cousin gives his life to the fact, or owes it to, when he tells the story, he says, it's because I learned in my church how to follow the Holy Ghost.
That's right. Amen. Praise God.
That's the truth. Hallelujah. Where do you want me to go to church, Father? It's not about, well, you know, I grew up in that church and grandma's friends are still there and I wouldn't want to hurt them. Come on now. Come on now. I knew a lady, this is sad, had a call of God on her life. I mean called to preach the word. Just loved the Lord with all her heart. Knew she was called, but stayed in her dead church. Filled with great people, but spiritually dead church. Because she couldn't leave the older people in the church. Because she had a role in that church. She couldn't up. Now there's a right and wrong way to leave church. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, you know, just treat everyone bad and, you know, whatever that. But God was calling her to go to a certain place to hook up so her call could be, you know, kind of watered and brought out. She wouldn't go. And she's still, to this day, stuck in that dead church, just spinning her wheels. And yet she's called to go out and minister to the masses. She's got a gift on her life, but she won't do it because not following her heart, following her flesh and her mind. Tell you what, people do it all the time, with all decisions, with jobs, vehicles, people, houses, where to live, what church to go to. Well, whatever feels good, whatever I think. No, no, no. What about what God thinks? Does anybody care what God thinks anymore? Does anybody want to know what he says about things? Praise God. You know, a lot of reason why, and we'll get into this probably either next week or the week after, you're going to find out why a lot of people struggle financially. Well, I'm tithing. Yeah, but God's telling you to do something else, and you're disobeying that, and you're not walking into your blessing. I'm going to give you testimonies of people in this church that have told me, testimonies in my life, and testimonies in the Word, when God spoke something to somebody to do something, and by the doing of that, it led to a blessing, but at the doing of it, you could have never seen that blessing coming.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Wait till I tell you Kale's cow story. I'm telling you. Just dangle it out in front of you. You're going to want to hear that one. That's awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, I need to get the details on that before next week. He told me, I said, that is an example of following the Holy Spirit. The blessing it led to. At the beginning of that blessing, it looked like there's no way, but God makes a way. Jesus is a way maker. He told people to do things in the Word, and they did it, and it turned into great blessing. But at the time when he told them, it seemed crazy. But again, you follow your heart.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, it pays to follow the Holy Ghost. And if you don't, it could lead to shipwreck.
Right.
I don't want that for you, and you don't want that for you. So learn to follow that peace. Praise God. And we'll see where we go next week with this series. We're not done yet, this series. So we'll see what direction we go next week. But let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we learned today the voice of the Spirit, what it is. It's peace. And Father, I do know that next week, one thing we will talk about is how to distinguish that peace. How do we separate that peace from our feelings and our mind? And then we'll talk about that next week. Father, we're just so grateful. And Lord, I want to make sure that people know my heart. When I talk about places that I came out of or places that people are still in, Lord, I'm not denying that they're sweet people, that they're people that are just as much loved by you as you love any Christian, Father. You don't play favorites. But Father, the sad reality is life looks different for a lot of Christians. Some Christians navigate through life victoriously and walk in prosperity and health and joy and are led in every decision by you, and they receive good things. And then other Christians who are just as loved by you, Father, they struggle, and they go through crisis after crisis, conflict after conflict. Just never seem to ever break free into the realm of victory. And Father, that shouldn't be so, because you said if we would acknowledge you, you'd direct us out of those things. You're not going to keep us in poverty. You're not going to keep us in sickness. You're not going to keep us in crisis and chaos and confusion. No, if we acknowledge you, whatever areas of our life that are crisis, conflict, chaos, you said you'd direct us. But Father, you direct us by the still waters. You direct us by the green pastures, Father. So we thank you, Lord, so much for all that you're giving to us. And we just want to make sure, Lord, that you know that our heart here is not to put our church on a pedestal. My goodness, we're human beings. We have a lot of work to do and a lot of areas to improve. I'm just saying from experience, Father, there's people that are living far below what you've provided for them because they just don't know about the Holy Ghost. So, Father, we don't criticize them, but we do pray for them, and we pray that their eyes would be opened, and, Father, that they would come to an understanding of what's available to them. We pray for that. Father, send somebody their way that would show them. Direct their paths into such a way where They won't be in the land of ignorance anymore, but the land of knowing to follow you. And so we thank you for that. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. I don't know everybody in here. I don't know everybody listening by live stream, and I don't know everybody that will be listening in the future. But I want everybody that can hear my voice right now to ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? When I ask myself that question, I know what the answer is. The answer is heaven. And you might say, well, how can you be so sure? Because the Bible tells me there's qualifications to get in. And it doesn't have anything to do with church attendance. It doesn't have anything to do with how good I was in 2016 or how much money I gave in 2016. The Bible says if I believe in Jesus, if I believe that he died and rose again, and I ask him into my heart, he said, if I believe in him, I'm qualified, and if I ask him into my heart, that's what gets me born again. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you can say, you know what? I don't know if I'd go to heaven, but I do know that I believe in Jesus. But I don't know that if I've ever invited him into my heart officially. You know, it's not enough just to believe in him. The devil believes in Jesus, but the devil's never received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. But the devil knows Jesus is real. It's just not about knowing that Jesus is real. It's about accepting him into your life. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, you can say, you know what, I do believe in him, but I'm not sure I've ever invited him in. Well, let's go ahead and let's do that right now. We won't embarrass you. We won't have you come forward, say anything on your own, or stand up. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anyone in the service today that you can say, you know what, I'm not sure I've gone to church, but I never knew I had to receive Jesus. He said, if you call on his name, you'll be saved. Not just believe in him, you got to call on his name. Anybody in here with heads bowed and eyes closed want to receive Jesus this morning? Just lift your hand high in the air. And what does that mean? You get to go to heaven someday. It means God's your Father. Nobody's looking around. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus? Just lift your hand high in the air. I'll have you put it right back down. Don't let this moment pass. I don't like to rush this moment because this is important. Anybody at all, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. This is not a time to embarrass you. Want to receive Jesus? Just lift your hand in the air and put it down. Anyone at all? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust that we are all born again in here. But if by chance someone in here or listening right now or listening in the future is not saved, Father, I pray they would not pass from this life until they've made Jesus their Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, for blessing upon every single person in here. Angels, go before everybody here and form a hedge of protection around them as they travel home. We say no evil befalls us, no plague comes near our dwelling. We thank you, Lord, we live long, and you satisfy us and show us your salvation according to Psalm 91:16. We thank you we're protected divinely by your angels. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, if you want to, we'd love to have you immediately following the service when we dismiss over in the old sanctuary. If you just go out these doors and kind of follow the hallway maze there to our old sanctuary, there's cookies and I believe coffee and juice or milk or whatever they have over there. We'd love to have you go over there. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30. We'll see y'all. Have a good rest of the week. You are dismissed.